Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I's, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
I'm sorry, my radio fans. I know it's been about 4 minutes or 3 minutes since the show came on. I kind of got waylaid. My dad came to pick up his dog the same time we got to do our show. But, hey, besides the point, this is Tiffany with Redneck and I's Radio coming to you Thursday, January 5th, 2023. It's like, whew, already into January. It's crazy, right? Here in East Liverpool, it's 43 degrees out. It's clear. We got a nice pretty moon and all that other fun stuff, but it's still, it's cold compared to yesterday when it was 57. Okay, so I'm going to get right into it because Greg is on his way home too. He'll be coming in, and more than likely we will have the dogs barking. So when that happens, you know what it's going to be. I'm going to mute it and put on a song or something just in order to keep the noise down. Okay, so... You know, we talked yesterday on the Women of Redneck and I show a little bit about how they're working with the brokers. They're trying to make brokers more accountable for everything that they've done. We've also talked about California trying to, or not trying, or going to get rid of so many of the non-compliant trucks. Okay, but right back to Overdrive again tonight. I got a few things, and I wanted to get it pulled up earlier, but I got, you know, sidetracked, like I said, got the grandbaby here again today. He isn't as fussy as he was yesterday, so that's, like, a great thing. So I'm just going to be on tonight for a little bit. Like I said, Thursdays are our shows, so I'm going to try here to that hour. Because, of course, since Greg is home, I still have to do the whole dinner and everything. Okay, here we go. DOT announces annual increases in fines for regs violations. The DOT increases fines for regs, meaning regulations, violations. The Department of Transportation will publish Friday a final rule updating the civil penalty amounts that may be imposed for violations of certain DOT regulations, including Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration regulations focused on trucking company audits. DOT is required by Federal Civil Penalties, Inflation Adjustment Act, Improvement Act of 2015 to adjust fine amounts each year based on inflation. A final rule that will publish in the Federal Registry Friday makes the new fine amounts effectively immediately. The 2015 Act requires FMCSA and other DOT agencies to issue an initial catch-up adjustment followed by annual adjustments for inflation. The DOT to find the 2023 adjustments amount had to multiply the previous penalty amount by the percentage change between the October 2022 customer or consumer price index for all urban consumers and the October 2021 CPI-U, which is the all urban consumers, which for that period was 1.07745. Given this multiplier, all of the fine amounts increased. The DOT noted that the penalty adjustments made by the rule will apply only to violations that take place after the rule takes effect, adding that the rule doesn't change previously assessed or enforced penalties that the DOT is effectively collecting or has collected. Okay. Another thing, I mean, you guys, a lot of people don't really get involved with this, but You know what? Hold that note for a minute. I want to turn this TV down just a little bit. Hold on just a minute, guys. I'm going to play you something here. Just real quick. Okay. Let me see.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Okay, I am sorry about that. I needed to turn that TV down and realize just approximately how loud it was. I didn't know how much was picking up here. You know, SpongeBob. You got kids. I mean, grandson's only 4 months, and I think it's just the movement and the colors that he kind of follows. Okay, Women in Trucking launches 2023 Gender Diversity Survey. Okay. I should have maybe, you know, waited till next Wednesday to talk about this on my show, but you know, hey, it's here. Let's put it out there. Okay, the Women in Trucking Association is encouraging trucking companies and others in transportation to complete a survey that collects data on gender diversity in the industry. The data will be used to develop this year's version of the WIT, Women in Trucking Index, which serves as an industry barometer to regular benchmark the percentage of women who are professional drivers in corporate positions and serve in leadership roles. WIT is requesting for for-hire trucking companies, private fleets, transportation intermediaries, railroads, ocean carriers, equipment manufacturers, and technology companies to report the percentage of women in various roles of their workplace. Data reported will be kept strictly confidential, and the data will be reported only as aggregated totals of respondents. Individuals completing the survey must be an authorized respondent from that company. Interested parties can report their data via the live survey through April 21st. Participating companies in the survey will receive an exclusive summary of the 2023 WIT Index at no cost, which will enable them to benchmark their gender diversity practices against other companies in transportation. Last year, the 2022 WIT Index found that the percentage of professional drivers who are female increased by 13.7%, an uptick of more than 3% since 2019. Additionally, the report found that women make up 33.8% of C-suite executives in transportation companies, 40.5% of safety professionals, and 74.9% of human resource and talent management roles. So there you have it. Women are on the upswing in the trucking industry, or manufacturing, or industrial-type jobs. Hey, if a man can do it, a woman can do it too. We might not be able to do it as fast or do as much or lift as much as them, but we are still capable of doing a lot of the same things. Okay, so I'm not even going to get into that because that's a whole other topic in and amongst itself. Okay. Okay. This was actually back in December that this was published. Prospective CDL holders in remote Alaska get entry-level training relief. The FMCSA grants training exemptions to Alaska. The Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration issued an exemption to the state of Alaska to allow the state to waive specified portions of the CDL skill test for drivers in 14 defined geographical areas that lack infrastructure to allow completion of the full skills test. According to the FMCSA, drivers who receive a restricted CDL under the provision of the exemption are also exempt from the entry-level driving training regulations. In its request, Alaska said that the threshold for determining whether a driver is eligible for a restricted CDL is outdated and excludes some remote communities that have unpaved two-lane roads not connected to the national highway system, adding that those areas do not have the infrastructure or driving scenarios to complete the portion of the ELDT that require the driver trainee to demonstrate proficiency in vehicle control maneuvers on interstate or controlled access highways. The state asserted that without the exemption, drivers would have to fly to large cities and incur travel costs and lost wages to complete the behind-the-wheel training requirements of the ELDT regs. Instead of granting an exemption from the ELDT curriculum, as requested by Alaska FMCSA, instead granted an exemption from the specific section of regulations related to Alaskan drivers. The agency said if it granted the exemption that was requested, affected drivers would be eligible to obtain an unrestricted CDO and operate in any location in the U.S., even though they did not receive the requested training to safely operate a CMV when entering and exiting an interstate or controlled access highway designed for safety, speed, vehicular traffic, navigating curves at speed, changing lanes, and stopping a CMV in a controlled manner. Current regulations as written exclude many remote Alaska communities and require drivers to comply with the ELDT requirements. So there's that. All right, let me get the baby because, hey, okay, sorry about that. Like I said, we all know how it is when you have babies in the house. Okay, let's see, what else do we have here? Oh, I mean, we talked yesterday about the trucking ban in Georgia, and Robbie, you know, where he lives at, he can take his truck home, but his homeowners association and, you know, the city of Chandler does not allow trucks, you know, to park at his house. Now, the police officer told him he has 24 hours basically to take everything in and out of his truck, whatever he needs. So, oh, looky there. Pappy's home post. So Pappy can take care of Bub. Okay. So it's always nice when we get the surprise one coming home and he's getting tired. So, but okay. Let's see, what else do we have here? Between yesterday and today, there hasn't been a lot of things that's actually kind of changed since then. All right. Peterbilt is recalling 2,500 truckers over mirror issues. Really? Here's a bunch of different recalls. So, you know, if you guys have one, you know if it's already been done. So, PACCAR is recalling approximately 2,565 model year 2022 and 2023 Peterbilt's 579 trucks for an issue with a hood mirrors, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration documents. According to the recall, the molded hood mirror assemblies may break at a pivot joint and if unsecured by the harness or tether can fall into the roadway and create a road hazard. Dealers will inspect the trucks for a wire harness or tether and replace the hood mirror assembly as necessary free of charge. Owner notification letters are expected to be mailed out February 14th. Owners can contact Peterbilt's customer service at 1-940-591-4220 with recall number 22PBF. All right. And then this goes on about some other, another recall for a small number of East dump trailers recalled. East Manufacturing is recalling approximately 17 model year 2018 to 2021 frame dump trailers due to an issue that can cause the steering arm to fracture during certain conditions such as low speed and high speed loading. Or high side loading. Dealers will install a new steering arm and additional welds free of charge. Owner notification letters were mailed out on November 16th. Owners can contact East Manufacturing customer service at 352-861-3612 with recall number 22E-080. Okay, let's see. Okay, here's something. Some of you guys, if you want to, I just hand him here. Tell Papa you just seen Paw too, huh? You just missed Dad. Yeah, he just came and picked Jet up. Okay, so, all right. This is what happens when, you know, he comes home and things go on and his grandbaby wants to see him and he's all excited to see Pappy. Okay, Garmin launches new LTE-enabled dash cam. The new LTE-enabled Garmin dash cam live allows drivers to view a live feed from the camera on the Garmin driver app and also gives them the ability to share a clip without Wi-Fi. Garmin this week announced that all new Garmin Dash Cam Live, an always connected LTE dash cam that offers drivers access to a live exterior view of their vehicle. With the purchase of an LTE subscription, drivers can utilize the Garmin Drive app to access an on-demand view of everything within sight of the dash cam. Live in their vehicle. Drivers will also enjoy greater peace of mind through receiving theft alerts and other incident alerts when parked and away from the vehicle. The camera records high definition 1440p video with 140 degree field of view featuring Garmin Clarity HDR optics for crisp detail day or night, providing a clear witness to any potential incident. We are thrilled to offer our first LTE-connected dash cam so drivers can have access to their vehicle camera without the limitation of a Wi-Fi connection, said Dan Bartel, Garmin Vice President of Global Consumer Sales. Much like the popular doorbell security camera system that will give a view around your front door, Garmin Dash Cam Live can serve as your eyewitnesses 24/7 for ultimate peace of mind and situational awareness. You can feel secure whether you're walking away from your truck at the stadium or leaving your convertible at the beach. With Dash Cam Live, same video clips are automatically stored for 24 hours in a secure location or secure online vault that can be accessed using the Garmin Drive smartphone app. The camera is always on, meaning it automatically records and saves video of incidents, tagging time, date, and location of saved video thanks to built-in GPS. When users are ready to access or share recorded video, the LTE connectivity also makes Dash Cam Live superior to standard dash cams because users are not dependent on Wi-Fi connectivity to share a video clip with company. So it goes on and tells you more about it. The plan is start at $9.99 a month and enable 24/7 connected features, including live view, location tracking, theft alerts, and parking guard notifications, as well as the ability to extend the storage duration of the video clips for up to 30 days. Available now, the Garmin Dash Cam Live has a suggested retail price of $399.99. So, if you like your Garmin equipment, that might be something you might want to look into. Okay. Okay, here's another one. Actually, I'm not even going to do this one to you. Only for the fact you guys all know how to drive in the ice and the snow and the winter. And, you know that if it's you're coming from a warm situation to a colder atmosphere, you know you're going to, want to put some anti-gelling stuff in your trucks because you don't want those clogged fuel filters or gelled tanks. Okay. You know, with ice and snow, you got to be careful and all that other fun stuff. All right. All right, we're going to take a quick little break.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandI's.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and I's.
Okay, and we're back. Let's see, we got a caller in line.
Happy New Year!
Hi, Jeff. How are you? Happy New Year to you,
Jeff.
Too.
How you doing?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Well, I'm back on the road for the first time this year.
Oh. Did you have some good home time then?
Yeah, wasn't long enough. They had this load coming out of Nebraska, going to Green Bay, back to Nebraska, Nebraska to Colorado Springs, back to Nebraska. And I said, yeah, I'll do that. And I'm going home again.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. It keeps you running
yeah.
in circles. It's good.
Need to make a little bit of money to catch up from the holiday, you know.
Yep, we all know how that is.
It does feel different out of being out of the truck for 3 weeks to climbing in. I was like, geez, do I remember how to drive this thing?
Right. I can understand that. I'd be like me if I would go back to driving again. It'd be like, wait a minute, do I know how to do this for sure?
Yeah, a truck like this, you could. No shifter. Easy.
Hell yeah.
It's just different. The easy chair doesn't recline like the one at home does.
Right? It's definitely nice being at home, but...
So what's going on? Have you taken over full-time of the show now?
No, I'm just doing my Wednesday show, but Ed needed me to fill in for him tonight, so...
Oh, I can say I thought today was Thursday, but I...
Yep. Yeah, he sent me a message.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, he sent me a message this morning and asked me if I could fill in for him tonight because he had something going on. So I was like, sure, not a problem.
Yeah.
I told him it all depended on how the grandbaby acted because yesterday he was very, very fussy. But today he's tired and he wants to sleep, but he doesn't know if he wants to sleep because if he sleeps and he misses things.
What, are you babysitting now?
Yeah, I watch our grandbaby when my daughter works. We usually have him just on the weekends because that's when Greg's usually home and it makes it, so that he can spend time with him too. But this week I had him Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, so, because she's off this weekend.
Did I hear Greg briefly on the phone before I hit the one button? Right, before break, was he on here?
Well, he's not on. He's technically home. He just literally walked in the door. So he was trying to keep Waylon quiet, and he's out in the kitchen now eating, because usually I do the show from the office in our basement. I call it the basement, but it's kind of the entryway and den area. But yesterday I did it upstairs here, so I had to do it upstairs again tonight because of having Waylon here. So.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to carry all his stuff downstairs.
I heard him briefly. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, like I said, he just literally came home, and so I wasn't actually technically expecting him until tomorrow, but he said there was a good chance he might get home tonight if he could get unloaded. So
there you go.
He was able to get unloaded, and so now he's home.
Good deal.
Yep.
So what's going on? Are you last year I saw all the like Ed was done, but he's not. Right? What's going on with that?
That's something we're not real sure of right now, because all we know is he said he was done with the radio, you know, because after March we're going to close the radio show down, because that's when, you know, it's due to renew, and we don't get enough response from, you know, not so much all of us calling
right.
in, but outside
right.
people even calling, you know. So.
Well, then I heard talk that Taylor was going to do it, or he's doing a show that still, and we're going. I don't know. I heard scuttlebutt something that Taylor was going to take it over somehow.
No, Taylor has his own show. We were on his network on Sunday night.
Right.
That's where it started
right.
at. Well, Ed decided,
right.
you know,
that.
Ed wanted to do our own, so fine. But like I said before, you know, we thought about talking it over, you know, and still doing a radio show one night a week on Taylor's, because I feel confident enough that if I talked to Taylor, he'd be okay with it and he would let us do it again. Because he was a little bit upset because the way things fell apart with that, because Ed never contacted him and let him know that we were not going to be doing a radio station on his anymore, that we were going to do our own, which we told Ed he needed to take care of that, and he didn't do it.
Well, yeah, a little bit once in a while. He's got listenership, and we ain't got any, you know. I could totally understand how boring it is would be to talk to yourself an hour every night, you know.
Yep.
I understand that.
And that's what I told, you know, with Taylor. I mean, we know we could probably go right back and, you know, get on there with him, because we actually had people that would call in and listen.
Yeah.
You know, because he does have such a big following when it comes to his radio station and everything else he does, so. But, yeah.
Well, I just didn't know, and I looked. I was going to give Holly a call. Still ought to be on, so I'll just call that first.
I figured if nothing else, if I didn't get no callers and I get to, you know, get a youngin' that's too fussy or something, it's not a problem. I can just put it on our Facebook page that, you know, we had to close it down early because of, you know, whatever. I've been on here before and talked for over an hour, and then, you know, get somebody to call in, and then I stay on longer. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know how much longer I'll be able to do it. I see my signal down by Iowa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit. You're fading in and out, so.
Yeah, I just wanted to call in and say hi.
Well, it was nice talking to you, Jeff, and we'll have to do it again. I mean, you know, you can always call in on Wednesday. That's a two-hour show.
I got a better signal. I got a better signal. I'll call back sometime.
All right. Most definitely do that.
All right. Happy New Year. Talk to you later.
All right. Happy New Year, you too. And you stay safe out there, Jeff.
You bet. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. So, we know with the new year, everybody's getting, some people are slowly starting to get back to work, which is good for everybody. And just like Jeff just stated there, you know, he didn't really want to, I think, but you kind of have to in the way things are nowadays. So with that being said, again, How was y'all's New Year? Anybody have anything fun they did? You like us, we stayed home. It's what we do usually every New Year and have people over. Okay, so here's something for you. Oh, this was back in November. You guys already know about that. Shell launches a new full synthetic heavy-duty engine oil. Like I said, you guys already know about it, right? That was November when that came out. Okay. All right. I'm trying to find some things that, you know, not a whole lot of stuff has been coming up here lately that I have seen. Okay. All right, go. All right, here's something for you guys that do any driving in Ohio. The interstate I-70 and 70 will experience lane restrictions through downtown Columbus to widen and reconstruction the roadway, replace bridges over the interstate, rebuild ramps, and construct new urban avenues parallel to the interstate. Various downtown ramps will be permanently closed. Estimated completion, August 2025. Okay, Short Street, these are the impacts. Short Street northbound between Liberty Street and Mound Street will be closing starting 9 a.m. Monday, January 9th through 5 p.m. Friday, January 15th for drainage work. Continuing impacts, Souder Avenue between Mound Street and Thomas Avenue starting June 20th for 1 year. So this one's already still in effect. The I-70 eastbound ramp to Front Street closed permanently June 17th, 2022, so they can reconstruct the ramp. Okay. All right, everything else has been closed and it's going to stay closed. What is closed now is going to stay closed. Okay. All right. Okay, we all know it's that tax time of year again. And, you know, you're going to be getting ready and doing all those. And if you haven't started, then, you know, you might want to start. I know I need to sit and finish up adding all my months up and that fun stuff and getting the totals so I can get ready to send everything to the account when we get all the 1099s back. Okay. And, you know, there's places out there that you can reach out to and ask questions about. Or if you have a tax preparer, that's always a great thing too, and look into them. We have I don't want to say in-house tax preparer here with Redneck and I, but we do have somebody that we can bring on and talk to and ask some questions, and we're definitely going to get that out there. I know it's her busy time right now, so it's kind of hard to see when she has time to do it. So I will definitely be reaching out to Jessica and seeing if she can come on one evening, especially like on a Wednesday if she's not too awful busy for a little bit, and answer any questions. So make sure you get questions out there and to us if you do have questions about your taxes and what's the best way to take care of them and get them set up and ready to go. All right, you know, today is January 5th. You guys should have all had your IFTAs on January 1st. And if you didn't, that Scalemaster will let you know. I'm not sure what the fine is for not having your IFTAs placed on your truck in a, you know, a timely manner when you're supposed to, but I'm going to say it's probably not a very cheap fine, because when it comes to the DOT and, you know, each and every state, they're going to want their money. Okay. I was trying to see. Let's see if that's not coming up. Okay, here we go. This is one. This was from October of 2021. But it says catching up. I don't understand. Yeah, I guess they didn't really. It's about the CBD oil, if you can use CBD. Okay. It says, but despite the warnings, national attitudes toward the hemp plant and all the potential derivatives, CDL holders should approach any form of the substance with an extreme caution. Because, of course, it's still going to give you, if you get into a wreck, I don't know if the hemp oil itself makes you get the whole aspect of, you know, the high that marijuana gives you or not. I'm going to assume it does, and you're going to have the slow reactions to things. So if you are in an accident, you are using the CBD oil, there's a good chance that you're going to, you know, fail your drug test. Okay, it says Overdrive revisited a column in the Trucking Law series written by Dr. Alexander Underwood. It says in the video goes over what drivers need to know about the CBD, THC, and keeping their CDLs. The landscape of the hemp cannabis-derived products has only gotten more chaotic and murky in times of legitimacy since that column originally aired. A barrage of consumer products have swept through gas stations and truck stops across the country. Recently, savvy business people have started selling so-called Delta 8 and Delta 10 THC, or concentrated THC derived from fully legal hemp plants. These products exploit the federal loophole that deem industrial hemp byproducts legal, but plants grow for THC illegally, while these products remain legal. For now, they too will cause a failed drug test, as the Delta 8 and Delta 10 compounds produce the same metabolites as Delta 9, plain old THC-bearing marijuana, the kind that's federally illegal. Amid the madness in the market of cannabis products and the ample confusion, an untold number of truckers have had their careers sidelined due to positive drug tests for THC. From January 6, 2020 to June 1, 2021, 80 to 98 urine drug tests administered under the mandatory federal program for CDL drivers came back positive. More than half of those tests found marijuana. The video tracks the legality of different products and states that official DOT positions on CBD. Above, find what you need about the intersection of marijuana. Okay, and that was under the trucking law on Overdrive. Okay. All right, we're going to take a quick little break here.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Okay. Sorry, I had to grab a bottle of water. All right, so let's see. We're about 15 minutes left into the show. And I want to know what all... What you guys did over your holiday break? Did you actually take a break? Did you stay at home? Did you go out with family? Okay. Ugh. All right, I just pulled up CDL Life because I was getting pretty much all old stories with the other. Here's something I just kind of, oof. All right. This was published today. Flatbedder dead after slipping off trailer at steel facility. A truck driver is dead after slipping off his trailer while unloading at a steel facility in Michigan on Thursday afternoon. The accident happened on January 5th in Warren, Michigan, at the Super Steel Treating Company just off of Mound Road and south of 10 Mile Road. According to Fox 2, the 61-year-old driver was making a delivery when he slipped off of his flatbed and landed between the truck and trailer. The unnamed driver died as a result. Warren police are still investigating. Wow, he must have just landed just, I mean, there's nothing else you can say, you know. I mean, what is there to say? The driver lost his life because he slipped off his trailer. There's a video, so we're going to have, so you guys can.
These are Detroit sports legends, Barry Sanders, Darren McCarty, and Kirk Gibson. And this.
There's a video, but there, of course, they have an ad first. But I want you guys to at least listen to it and see what the reporters have to say about it. Okay, here we go.
A very freak accident here. Again, Super Steel Treating Company on Rinky Street near 10 Mile and Mound about 3 o'clock or so this afternoon. A freak accident. A 61-year-old male from Shelby Township died as a result of this accident. We don't have confirmation, but one of the people familiar with the scene basically said that this truck driver, an independent truck driver, possibly from the Dearborn Steel Company, was making some kind of a delivery here of the Super Steel Company when apparently he was on the flatbed of his truck and he slipped and fell off, crushing himself, hitting his head. Now, again, as a 61-year-old male from Shelby Township, the Super Steel Company here, the treating company, is a company that makes steel. You can see a lot of the steel coils here. That's what happened. They get a lot of independent truckers that were here to deliver steel. Now, again, this happened around 3 o'clock or so. Outside in the back, as you can see, there were people from the Macomb County Medical Examiner on the scene, as well as Warren Police, still investigating this. Drone video, as you can see here, show that the Warren Police officers are actually taking pictures from both inside the cab of the truck as well as on the flatbed. It happened again on the outside of this company. We confirmed with the owner of the company, Super Steel, there was an incident, but they had no comment. They wanted to notify the man's family as well. Did put a call into the Dearborn Steel Company. They said that they have no comment at this time. Again, a very freak accident, but we know a 61-year-old man, Shelby Township, died, likely slipped off the back of the bed of his truck while he was making some kind of a delivery. Again, this is an ongoing investigation here in the city of Warren and a very sad day for the people that are in this area. 10 Mile and Mound, again, that man is dead. Industrial accident. Reporting live here in Warren, I'll send it back to you.
Okay. From the video that I was looking at, I mean, we all know the truck's up in Dearborn and up that way because it did say Dearborn on the truck. So it was one of the Dearborn industry here, trucking companies, trucks, or owner-operator. He does have a Conestoga, and he's got 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 axles just on the trailer. Okay. And the door is open on his Conestoga because he has the door on the bulkhead. And what I am thinking, because they said it was between the trailer and the truck, is he went to step down out of there, and he fell, and, you know, just unfortunate luck of the draw when he fell and landed. You know, but 61 years old and lost his life, you know, doing his job. And it's sad, and there's, you know, the only thing we can think about now is, you know, that poor driver, his family, this close right after the holidays and something like this happens. And now, you know, the people at the mill that seen that and the other driver that was right there that, you know, if the other driver was sitting in his truck, he probably watched the poor man fall. And you watch him fall, and what are you supposed to do? Okay. So it's sad, but we know it happens. Okay. All right. Back to the news. What else do we have here? Okay. Ugh. Okay. This is in San Antonio. One believed dead in fiery semi-truck crash in San Antonio. This was also published today. Okay, the San Antonio Police Department is investigating a major crash that occurred on I-35 ramp on Thursday afternoon. Holy crap. Ain't much of that truck left. Okay, the crash happened around 12:30 p.m. on January 5th on the ramp from the loop 410 to southbound I-35. The SAPD says that the driver of the 18-wheeler lost control and crashed, causing the truck to flip onto its side, soon becoming engulfed in flames. Witnesses and first responders were able to help the truck driver to safety, but a passenger was inside the cab as well, and police believe that he is deceased. The truck driver suffered only minor injuries. The truck was hauling spools of metal cable. We like to call those slinkies. Okay, the ramp is expected to remain closed through Thursday evening. The cause of the crash is under investigation. I'm almost going to say maybe driving too fast for the curb. I don't know. We won't know. We'll see if they ever publish a, you know, what happened type statement. Oh, my Lord. Okay, here's one. Multiple dogs killed after a van carrying 65, you heard me right, 65 Chihuahuas veer into path of oncoming tractor trailer. 55 Chihuahuas are now at rescues across the state of New Mexico after a van carrying the animals collided head-on with a tractor trailer. The incident happened on Tuesday morning, January 3rd, near Santa Rosa, New Mexico. According to the KRQE News, a van driven by 40-year-old Michelle Rodella was traveling on Highway 54 when it suddenly veered into oncoming traffic. The van then collided with an oncoming tractor trailer. When police responded to the scene, they found 65 Chihuahuas inside the vehicle, some of them dead as a result of the wreck. The police said, so far we've pulled about 35 dogs, and there are still a bunch of them in there, and some of them were killed during the accident, said Santa Rosa Mayor Nelson Cotero. I believe there were 9 dead inside the van. One of the dogs, we had to put him to sleep because he had a broken back. He was suffering really bad, he added. Some of the dogs had limbs hanging. There were pretty much blood everywhere, but that could have been from one or two dogs, said Cross My Paws Animal Rescue President Laney Nash. Cases of neglect, the super long nails, them having eye infections, or them having dehydration, which was huge. All of them were underweight, says Chelsea Worley, director of the East Mount Companion Animal Project, which rescued 32 of the dogs. Around 12 of the dogs were found to be pregnant. Imagine that. Rodello survived the crash and has since been cited for failing to stay in the traffic lane. It is unclear if he will face any animal cruelty charges, and no one is sure where he was taking the dogs or what he was planning to do with them. I have all kinds of things running through my head just because of that. Okay. So, I mean, we're all dog lovers, you know, And when your dogs get to the point where they're suffering, you know, the best thing to do is, you know, let them go, per se, which we all know that all too well. We've had over the years, we've had to let, you know, let three of ours go. And one of them was just here recently. So we know we have another one that we're going to have to, you know, take care of too here before long, because he's getting bad and he's suffering and he's just not his, you know, old self as he was. So we know these things will happen and this is what we'll have to do. So, but okay, this brings us down to basically getting to the end of our show. And like I said, it's been crazy, some of the stories we've talked about and read about tonight. So it's just been one of those crazy things. You know, 65 Chihuahuas. Chihuahuas aren't very big dogs. But can you imagine 65 of them in a van? Oh, my Lord. So Ed will be back with you guys tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern. And I will be back next Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern for our two-hour show. We usually, like I said, every day or weekday besides Wednesday is on our show. And tonight, I came on for Ed because he wasn't able to do our show tonight. So y'all got me. But I'm going to get ready to get off here so I can go fix something for Greg for dinner since he is home. So, but I'm going to get on that. And since the youngin' is sleeping, and that's a good thing because he was fighting it so bad earlier. All right, so that brings us to the end of the show tonight. Call in again tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern, where Ed will be back on with you, hopefully. He just asked me to fill in for him tonight, so he should be back tomorrow. So, with that, we're going to bring it to the end. But, again, stay safe, stay sane as you all can be driving a truck. Because we know it takes a right type of person to drive one these days. And always, if you have any questions or concerns or have, you know, anything going on that you want to talk to any of us about, hey, always reach out. We're always here. All right, and that brings us to the end tonight, guys. Thank you for listening.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandi's.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and I's.
All right, so this is Tiffany with Redneck and Eyes Radio signing off for the night. Stay safe.